اهلا و سهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يمنى.
ويلكم يا ابو صفا.
دنيا کے مسافر منزل تیری قبر ہے. سفر ہے دنیا بنی ہے جب سے, دنیا بنی ہے جب سے, لاکھوں کروڑ آئے, لاکھوں کروڑ آئے.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. ونس اگین اہلن و سہلن و مرحبن ٹو آور ریسپیکٹڈ لسنرز ٹو دس ایڈیشن آف دا کافی ایکسپریس کمنگ ٹو یو لائیو اینڈ ایکسکلوسیولی فرام دا اسٹوڈیوز آف مرکز صحابہ آن لائن. صوت اہل السنۃ والجماعۃ, دا وائس آف دا اہل السنۃ والجماعۃ ان ڈربن ساؤتھ افریقہ. On this day, the 21st of Jumad al-Ula, 1446, corresponding with the 23rd of November, 2024. Alhamdulillah, we just finished our first segment, which was about Palestine, and we are discussing the characteristics of the Yahud as mentioned in the Holy Quran. Now, inshallah, we will be crossing over to Brother Ahmad Parak, who would update us on the latest regarding kafan and dafan, the latest developments. And of course, we will discuss our local politics also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners this morning. Mawlana, alhamdulillah, Mawlana. Today, I think it's going to rain. We got lucky back here. It gives, you know, brings back memories when Saturday morning, Lucky used to phone me when Shafat Ahmad Khan was the presenter. Allah give him Jannat al-Firdaus. You know, it gives me great pleasure, Ameen, today to hear Lucky's voice, because now when I hear Lucky's voice, you know, on a Saturday morning, I know Shafat is ready for me. So alhamdulillah, and to get lucky, yeah, it's going to rain today, Maulana. And I think you need to keep him closely to you, because between the two of them, they'll do a good job, Maulana.
Jazakallah. Now, are there any latest developments regarding our kafan and dafan?
Maulana, what we want to do, inshallah, next week, we want to give you an update. I'm just compiling all the stats, you know, for this festive season coming. Then there will be, I'm going to be engaging you with a senior superintendent from Metro Police as well. What is going to be happening in the city, all that, I'm just going to be compiling. That's what I normally do every year. So by next week, inshallah, we'll be able to give you a full update on the Dafan Kafan, as well as the city's update in terms of the festive season and everything else, Maulana, inshallah.
Now, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of good things that are happening, you know, in our city. And firstly, regarding corruption, you know, we read an article in the Mercury during the week. Durban councillors and officials in Itikweni municipality have received a dire warning following a judgment handed down by the Supreme Court of Appeal regarding liability for financial losses. The ruling found that municipal officials could be held personally liable for financial losses suffered by a municipality as a result of irregular, fruitless and wasteless expenditure. Can you elaborate on this, Brother Ahmad?
Jim Molana, let me just give you the gist of this case here. But I was in the MPAC meeting. We started at about 9:30 and we only finished at 4 on Thursday. where the, you know, where money, the cities, whatever expenses and everything comes before us. First and foremost, and then the legal, we have a full-time legal. Whenever we sit in MPAC, we have a, somebody from the city, from the legal department sit with us as well. So he gave us a full gist regarding the judgment. First and foremost, there was an application made in the Eastern Cape by an employee to, with it, against the municipality. That's one. It went to the High Court, and the municipality, the case was won by the municipality. He then took that matter to the Supreme Court of Appeal. Now, when you take a case from the High Court, you got one judge makes the decision. When you go to the Supreme Court of Appeal, there you have eight judges sitting and giving verdicts. Then if you take it even one step further than that, the last place where you can go and take that matter is the Crown Court. Now, in a Crown Court, you'll have 16 judges sitting and giving the verdict. In this case, yes, the verdict was given by eight judges in the Supreme Court of Appeal. But we must understand there is one more avenue still left in this judgment. Within 30 days from judgment, either you want to take it further to Crown Court or not. So we can't start celebrating now that we say, okay, fine. Yes, the city officials and the city manager, they will be responsible for any wrongdoings and all that, personally liable in terms of the judgment. So I personally think they are looking at it and getting opinion on this case. Maybe they are going to take it to Crown Court, and they might bring an urgent application in the early part of January or February. You will hear that they have brought it before the Crown Court. That's where we are. But for now, the precedent has been already set. When a precedent is set, we can start endorsing and bring an application to the High Court for whatever wrongdoings in the city. But we have to also wait for the 30-day period, because this matter is only after the 30-day it becomes, the judgment will actually hold ground in whoever brings the application. So that's where we are. So I think 2 weeks has left. So I think there's another 2 weeks still by, I think I would be, if I'm correct, around about the 7th of December, it will be final. And then if they bring it after the 7th, then they'll have to reapply and everything. There's still avenues for that. So I'm not sure whether that is going to happen. But also, we must take into account they're not going to leave it sleeping, because now you want to get from not only the municipality, from national government right through all over the country, any official caught with any wrongdoing or wasteful, fruitless expenditure, he can be held liable. That is the judgment talking for itself. That's where we are at this moment. So at the moment, what my personal view is, yes, it's a very, very good judgment. But on the flip side of the whole thing, Molana, we must also understand, it will derail your service delivery, because every department is not going to sanction things. They want to look at it and they want to see, scrutinize. It will take where a case can come before the full council within a month. That's the reason we sit every single month in council to approve. The full council have to approve before anything can be done, you know, for finance. So that's where we are. So the on the flip side, the issue is your service delivery is going to be affected, because things will take a little bit more longer, because nobody wants to put his head on a guillotine to get personally liable for any debt that by virtue of taking a decision as an employee of the state, of the city or municipality, and then caught out with it, because then they can attach your property, they can attach everything for anything if they got you convicted. And it's still, you know, the process still has to take place. It has to go to court. Then only you will be able to, and you'll be dismissed from the council or national government or province. This will actually happen. That's where we are in terms of the judgment. So I just gave you in a nutshell how it started and what the protocol was used and where we are at this stage, and the good side of it and the flip side of it, what can happen. So we just wait till roundabout the 7th of December, then we will know where we are in this case here. Then they will start implementing, but your service delivery will be affected in this case here, inshallah. This is where we are, Maulana.
One thing that we observe, you know, from what is in that article, is that all the parties are very happy with this decision that's taken, or this judgment that has been issued, except one party. So much so, the spokesman of that party, you know, the statement he made reflects that they are unhappy about it. He said, "I believe this judgment is a knee-jerk reaction and a slippery slope." Doesn't this give the impression to the reader that this party is the main culprit for misuse and abuse of funds?
100%. In fact, we are seriously, my party is seriously looking at the issue where the ICC, where they were caught up with millions of rand, and we brought it to the CII, we brought it to, and the case is still pending at the moment. So we are now looking at this judgment, and we say, okay, fine, there's another avenue open for us. We can now apply also at the steps to criminally charge the person who was the manager of the CII, I mean, at the ICC conference center. So we you know, now it opened another door for us. So we are looking at all the matters that is still pending with there's 259 matters are pending with SEPs at the moment. So we are saying now the party that you are referring to, they're in an international sakrat at the moment. They don't know where to turn, because this judgment wants to put them, a lot of them want to go behind bars because of this judgment.
Now, something that has come about during the week also, you know, it's said to, what we'd say, it's said that we have among us people that try to create unnecessary panic by making statements that are have a very negative bearing on everybody, and that is about poisoning of water. There was some voice note that's going around that the water has been poisoned in certain dams. Is there any investigation in process to discover the source of the fake voice notes about water poisoning?
Maulana, this was discussed internally with the city manager, not before the full council. From my understanding, the intelligence are working very, very closely with the various networks at the moment, and they have promised us before the 15th they want to have some answers to this matter here. And this is very, very serious matter, because you know what, you know, you don't put panic into the community. And you know, water is one thing that, you know, we are all depending on water, and there's a shortage of water, so we cannot have a false news like this in media and everywhere, in all the social media. So this we're taking it very, very seriously at the moment. The city manager as well as the mayor is very, very concerned, and they're going all out to get the perpetrator who is actually causing this problem for us.
Further, you know, the statement comes out just in that period of time when we expect to have a lot of visitors in our city, tourists, and it's also going to, you know, create a negative effect on that.
See, Maulana, but you know, with social media at the moment, you know, if I don't like Maulana, I just have to put a flea into somebody else's ears and say, you know what, ABC, and that thing goes social. And this, you can ruin, if you want to ruin somebody's life, this is social media for you. This is what happens. Now, these things happen time to time, and you know, when especially if when we in council and we are in government, you get different parties, and then you know, everybody wants to score goals, and they want to make sure their party on top of the game, and they will do stupid things. And you know, when there's a big issue surrounding some fraud and everything else, then they find a thing like this here to divert the attention from what they're supposed to be investigating on. So these things happen. Like, I take the pressure away from what they were supposed to do. I take the pressure and we put pressure onto something else. So that matter is gone to file 13 for now. That's what they do, Morana.
There still seem to be some confusion among members of the public between water curtailment and water shedding. Can you just, clear up this confusion?
Morana, there is no water shedding at the moment, like how we had electricity and all that. There's nothing like that. The 8.4%, where we get our water from Tugela, when we get our water from our Tugela, when they supply the city, what they have said, we're going to reduce your water by 8.4%. That's water curtailing. That's what we are saying at the moment. There's no water shedding or anything like that. In fact, we are in a very, very advanced stage, and they're working day in, day out, even night shift, from getting additional water from Lesotho Water Works. So there is going to be, in the next, before the festivals, there's a lot of things that is happening, and that is going to be a big plus factor for us. So we are getting at the moment, but in a small scale. And now, we assisting the Lesotho government, work in conjunction with our government here, and they have created more water. And this has come to my knowledge through one of the top officials from Lesotho, who I know him personally. And he told me, hey, we're working full out to assist you all with water and all that. And he's told me this is how it's working, and they're working day and night to get this water thing moving for us. So that's where we are. And then we must also remind ourselves, you know, we always say 54.5% of the water is lost by leakage, stolen meters. But that is not the actual truth in it, man. And I said maybe in a couple of weeks ago, we discussed this yet. I had a meeting with one of the senior engineers regarding this, and he says, you know what, there's only about 20% we lose in water from all these pipe bursts, water leakage, where you complaining on the road and all that. That's 100%, 20% only. The balance of the almost 35%, we are losing for non-revenue, that the people are not paying us. That is where the thing. So what they did was, to make that balance sheet look good and everything, they said, you know what, water loss, they put it under water loss. Then I queried this on Thursday as well at my apps meeting. I said, no, that is not, we need to rectify it, and we can't mislead the community. The community needs to know the truth, nothing else but the truth. Only 20% we're losing, 35% is from all the informal settlements. Then you go to near Ilovo, all that way there. There's beautiful houses. The houses are worth a couple of million, but they're getting free water and electricity. So we're paying for all that. That's where our loss is. And that's where I'm saying we are doing at the moment full investigation. You can see from the meters what we are doing. Yesterday was the D-Day. So from 785,000 it was, 457,000 have already, we brought them into the new system. That alone is telling us how many have already registered. Now there's about 285,000 still outstanding. Now that is the ones that we're looking at very, very closely. The one that came forward to sort their lives out, it's fine. But the 285 is the problem child for us, because that is the one that is telling us are not paying for our electricity. So where it is, now we want to know where it is, where they're getting the connection from, all that is taking place at the moment.
Another issue that's worrying people is, would all the beaches be open this holidays?
Molana, at the moment, I sent, I don't know if you saw in my WhatsApp as well, there's you know, there's quite a few, 16 beaches. We have got a problem. There's no denying of it, but they're working day in, day out to sort it out. But for the festive season, I was assured, and on the first week of December, we got a council meeting, and the mayor is going to announce going to happen for the festive season, and I'll be able to give you next week a full picture and a breakdown from water and sanitation to see how the ecological levels are and what plans have they put to make sure our beaches are in 100% condition and they got the blue flags. That's one. And there's quite a few blue flags at the moment. Yes, there is about three or four beaches you cannot swim at the moment because the levels are very high at the moment. That's what I'm saying.
Now, some more good news regarding spaza shops. The city launches compliance campaign for spaza shops amid health concerns. Can you elaborate on this compliance campaign of the city?
All right. Firstly, I just need to brief you as well as the our community. I had first-hand knowledge of what happened on Sunday. One of my staff working for me for about 17 years. Her daughter went and bought chips in Amlazi. She fell sick after eating the chips around about 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. She'd been bringing up all the time, the whole morning, everything. And fortunately, she lost her husband about 3-4 years ago. He was working for Reserve Bank, and he was okay. He had left a good pension for her as well as for the children. And every child has got medical aid that has been paid by Reserve Bank. So I immediately, when she came crying to me, said, you know what, this is a story now, I don't know what to do. So I immediately got an ambulance for her and took her to Spingo Hospital because she had medical aid. And what we found at Spingo Hospital after they admitted her, that it was food poisoning. So now we're taking this matter very, very serious. Now this is information that I have got personally. We got the mother is working for me. She won't lie to me. Her daughter took pictures when she was in hospital, in the bed. They started putting glucose for her and getting that poison out of her body and all that. So she was lucky because it didn't hit her lungs or kidneys or anything at that time. So she was lucky. She managed to come out of hospital. She's okay at the moment. So this is first-hand knowledge I have got. So I'm going to be going this coming week to the place because now the daughter is okay to speak. We're going to have a press briefing at my place, at my offices, and I'm going to invite all the media houses, and this is where we are at the moment. Yes, the other thing is the president has taken a decision by the 1st of December, all non-compliance, the spaza shop will be closed, and that is very, very good. But they're beating the system here, Molana. What they are doing is they're coming to you and they're telling you, you know what, I'm in a lot of problem here. Please help me. I'll give you 3,000 rand a month for not doing anything. Take this spaza shop on your name. We fill the application. Let them make it compliant, but I'll give you 3 grand or 5 grand or whatever the amount is. They're trying to beat the system. We put up with that system. What we have done at council level, we have put in additional the manpower, especially in the health department. So that is where we're going to be very, very stringent about it. There's a lots of goods that is 2016, 2017, 2020 goods that is coming out. It is unbelievable what I'm seeing too. So, you know, these things are very, very, shouldn't be in the shelves, should be dumped. And you cannot give our small children and this with the festive season. You know, the children will have a little bit of money, spending money or anything. They're going to buy all these things and all. They want to find more children dying. At the moment, as we stand, there's about 25 children have passed away because of this food poisoning. And I don't know how many more are in hospital as well. So it is a problem. But the city has taken a very drastic position in that. And we are also going out doing oversight with the Department of Health, SAPS, Home Affairs, Justice Department. We are also taking the the Labor Department. So there's a whole team that is going and visiting all. And in fact, some of the places we have visited, they even got manufacturing plants too. The manufacturing under this, if you got baked beans, they got identical. You will never make the difference out, Molana, if you see the tin and everything. It is unbelievable how they are operating. They are masters in how they are operating. That's one. The other most important thing is they married a black woman from our country to make, you know, to just buy time and to make to show that I'm legally married, and they're making themselves compliant. So all that is also being taken care of. Most importantly, if you don't have any papers or anything like that, that you are in the country, you are illegal. It's no more talking. What they are doing now, in fact, one friend of mine phoned me about 2 weeks ago and he said, you know, I'm in big trouble here. I said, what happened? He said, you know, I had some machinists and they came and took the machinists and took me away too. Because you're not allowed. Your fine is $200,000 for harboring illegal foreign nationals in the country. So they will charge you, and you will have a record against your name. So I'm pleading to our community, try and make it simple as possible. There is a way you can, if they come here and you want them to be employed in your company, there is a documentation. They can come here and they give you 1 year. And after 1 year, they must go again and apply. Make them legal. It makes it easier for you too as well. Because if they do anything wrong, you know how to catch them, because it's registered in the books of the Home Office. And now they take your thumbprint and they take a picture of you. So you can't duck and dive and all. And we're closing the borders as well. So it's going to be very, very difficult. So a lot of them coming January are looking for local employees at the moment. That's what's going to happen. And whoever is going home now, they're not going to come back, because they're not going to be able to come here. Because unless you are an artisan or you are a specialist in your field, then only you'll be able to come back here. Other than that, you're not going to be able to come here. We're putting the clamps on it, because that's the only way we'll be able to cover the almost 40% of unemployment in the country. And what about the school leavers you want to be getting after this metric? There'll be, and then the dangerous part of this whole thing is, Molana, that you got so much of youth that is not working at the moment, and a youth can only take so much. What happened in Egypt, the youth uprising, it can come here in this country as well. So they are tired, they are sitting at home. Some of them getting work at IT and doing odds, ends and all. Then that is the biggest problem they have. There is a lot of unemployment. And we think we can, the city, the state is prepared to assist, put in training centers and all, train them and bring them into our field, into our local economy. That's the only way we can sort our country out in terms of the unemployment.
It's not just food that they are manufacturing backdoor. I got a video on WhatsApp that shows medication also, like Grandpa was one of the medicines that was mentioned.
Grandpa, you get cough mixtures, Molana, you get pressure tablets. You name them, they can make it for you. And you know what? If you look at it, some of these things are made with you won't even make it out. That's how clever these guys are. They were making it out of vim and lime. You know, lime is with it. I don't know how they make it so thin, and they put vinegar not vinegar, white vinegar to make it, to give it bonding. And they put also the lime in it and vim to keep it. And then they're selling this thing. So it's a problem. You know, you can't be taking medication that is not even tried and tested, and you're killing people. This is the problem that we face.
Our local government is not thinking of being like the Muslims, you know, to the wholesalers, give halal certificates.
Molana, very, very pertinent question you ask. The major culprits, unfortunately, it is our Muslims. Maulana, you'll be shocked when we went to into some supermarkets. I don't want to name them and all, it's not right. But our people are selling them expired goods. Now, that is not right. And you know, it is just not right. How can you do that? And you know, you're running a massive supermarket, you're running a massive cash and carry, but you know your product is expired. Why go, you know, even at a discounted price, you can't sell it, because end of the day, that article is expired. Why go and sell it at a discounted price too? And it might lie in that person's shop or in his shelf for maybe 2-3 weeks before he sells it. And then now it's gone 2 to 3 to 4 months that is expired, and you can't do that. And you know, I was like, you know, when I went to the team and all that to see what is happening, I was like shocked. Now, you know, they were all looking at my face. He says, you know what, hey, Sulomando, hey, you know, that was really, and if you go and see the Somali old guys and the people that Ethiopians and all Muslim, they're wearing topi, everything, and they're doing this, it's not right. And that one place where you saw that video was going, the inspectors asked that guy, that Pakistani guy, that will you eat this meat? He refused to eat it, that meat, but yet he was buying that meat for everybody else. Now, how that can be possible?
Yeah, let's hope inshallah we can put things right. Jazakallah for your valuable time this morning. And inshallah we will speak again next week if you're not taking a festive holiday.
Maulana, we don't know yet. We got time. We still got a lot of work before council and all that. I think when the council goes on recess from there, inshallah, I'll let you know well in advance. If I'm going and maybe assist you with a replacement or anything like that, but I'm not sure at this stage, but inshallah I'll let you know well in advance. And nice to have Lucky back on the saddle there at the studio as well, Maulana.
Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. That was our counselor. That was our counselor Ahmad Parak discussing local politics.